Now hear the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
For the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. And agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to them he said, "You go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right I will give you." So they went. Going out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing, and he said to them, "Why do you stand here idle all day?" And they said to him, "Because no one has hired us." And he said to them, "You go into the vineyard too." And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first." And when those hired about the 11th came, each of them received a denarius. Now when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity?" So the last will be first, and the first last. The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated.
Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. You know, for every problem, there is a solution that is fast, easy, cheap, and wrong. Definitely wisdom for our soundbite culture of Google experts. But also wisdom as we approach the parables. A few months ago, we talked about the nature of the parables as we walked through the third discourse, the parables of the kingdom. We saw that parables have a surplus of meaning. We saw that as we enter the realm of the story in the parables, we could expect the parables to challenge our concept of where we are and where we are going. With the parables, there was always an interpretation that is comfortable, easy, and woefully incomplete. If you read a parable and find that it is not disruptive and disturbing, you probably aren't reading it well. It's tempting with this parable of the vineyard workers, or perhaps the parable of the gracious householder, depending on how you choose to look at it. It's possible to find that simple interpretation that fits nicely into the heaven when I die kind of gospel. We can look simply at the lesson as don't begrudge those who repent later and still get into heaven. Comfortable, easy, and woefully incomplete. You see, in this portion of Matthew's gospel, Jesus is not talking about the culmination of all things. Jesus is speaking about life in the community of heaven in the very now. Matthew's gospel is not some anemic heaven when I die kind of gospel that allows us to remain comfortably conformed to the ways of the kingdoms of this world. No, this is the robust gospel of the kingdom of heaven, the forever gospel that transforms us into citizens of heaven, not residents of this world. So how then shall we read this parable? Since text without context is simply pretext, let's start with the context in which we find it. You know, the Gospels come from an oral tradition. We chop them up into little bits for each Sunday. But probably when they were first performed in the community of believers, they were performed as one solid work. I say performed, not read, because most people couldn't read and most people couldn't find afford a written copy of the Gospels. And so people would come, storytellers, who would perform the Gospel. If you read the Gospel of Matthew straight through out loud, it takes you about 2.5 hours. For us, that seems like a long time to sit and read and, or listen to someone read. I know if I started at the first of the Gospel of Matthew and said, for the next 2.5 hours I would going to read to you, you'd probably all get up and leave. But think about it. We go and we sit in front of a movie screen as entertainment for the evening for 2.5 hours. Before movies, there were storytellers. And so the fullness of the Gospel of Matthew would have been performed at a single time. We wouldn't have to worry about putting it into its place when we come to a specific story, because it would be in its place. But now we have to go and we have to take this parable and put it in the place that it belongs within this entire narrative. So we go back to our roadmap of Matthew's gospel. Matthew starts by linking his story to the great story. These are the generations of Jesus the Christ. These are the generations, all the way back to the generations listed in Genesis. That's where Matthew begins, and he says Christ is the continuation of this story. And then he alternates between stories of what Jesus is doing, the ministry of Christ, and the discourses, the teachings of Jesus. And we have the five discourses that are kind of the landmarks, the road signs on this map. The discourse on the ethics of the kingdom, the Sermon on the Mount. The discourse on the mission of the kingdom, the sending of the 12. The discourse on the nature of the kingdom in the parables. The discourse on the community of the kingdom that we finished last week. And then finally, the last discourse on the grand culmination and the great judgment. Then Matthew continues with the king whose throne is a cross. A king whose power is in surrender and service. A king whose wealth resides in giving and not in taking. A love that gives all to give life. And Christ rising from the grave calls the 12 together on a hill. And he says to them, all authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, as you go about, make disciples, teaching them all that I have taught you, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I am with you even to the end of the age. This is not an anemic, someday later, heaven when I die kind of gospel. This is a gospel that transforms us now. As Paul says to the Philippians, live worthy of this gospel. Live in this gospel. Live because of this gospel. Take a little aside before we dive into this parable. And I'm not going to connect this story directly, but it was underneath most of my study. Bernard of Clairvaux writes of four types of love, the four ways of loving, that a man, before he encounters the transforming love of God, loves himself for the sake of himself. As man comes to encounter the power and the love of God, he begins to love God for the sake of self. Loves God for the things that God can do for him. Loves God for that plant that grows to give shade like Jonah. As man comes to know more and more of the awesome glory and love and mercy and loving kindness of God, he comes to love God for God's sake. To love God because God is love. And ultimately, in the fourth way of loving, man comes to love self for the sake of God. To love himself because God loves him. And to add a little bit of a Franciscan flavor to Bernard's Benedictine roots, I would say that fourth way of loving is when we look out and we love ourselves, we love one another, we love all of creation. For the sake of the God who loves us and loves all things. Those are the four ways of loving. As our colleague said, without love, all our deeds are worth nothing. So now we come to this parable of the workers in the vineyard or of the gracious householder. In this part of Matthew that talks about the example of life in the community of the kingdom. We have heard the teaching about life in the community of the kingdom that resides in humility, in forgiveness, and in reconciliation. And then, as we start the doing portion of Jesus' ministry, Jesus teaches the Pharisees about the hardness of heart that destroys community in that very basis, the primal community of marriage, the hardness of heart that resists reconciliation and restoration. And then a rich ruler comes and he says, "Master, what must I do to have eternal life? What must I do to live?" And Jesus says, "Do all that you've been told." He says, "I've done that, and it's empty." Jesus says, "One thing you lack. Go sell all that you have, give it to the poor, and come and follow me." And the young man leaves dejected, for he had much power and wealth. The ways of wealth and power of this world are not compatible with the ways of the kingdom of heaven. And then Peter, they ask, "Lord, who can enter the kingdom of heaven then? If rich people don't get in, who can get in?" And Jesus says, "With man it is impossible, with God all things are possible." Peter says, "We've given up everything." Jesus says, "Yes, and all who have given up all that they have for the sake of the gospel will receive it threefold." And then he says something that's a little strange. He says, "And the last will be first, and the first shall be last." And then we begin our parable. "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be like a vineyard." This parable is definitely not about heaven when I die. This is about manifesting the kingdom of God in our lives today, right now. So what does it mean about the kingdom of heaven being like a householder who has a vineyard? Let's start with the obvious foil in the story. Those who are first hired, they're early to the marketplace. The master of the vineyard comes and he hires them and says, "I'll pay you a day's wage for a day's labor." They work all day. And when payment time comes, they've seen the others paid first and they say, "I'm going to get more." And they're disappointed when the householder keeps his word. They agreed to a day's wage. They receive a day's wage. And they're disappointed because they look not to the love that says, "I've given you what feeds your family for the next 2, maybe 3 days. They look with jealousy and envy at what others have received. I think this is a direct reference to Peter's question. "Hey, Lord, we gave everything that we had. Are we going to get something good?" Jesus says, "Indeed, you will get what is promised. But so will the others." These first hired complain and they grumble. "Why did they get the same as I when I worked all day in the heat of the sun and they only came at the last hour?" Listen to what the householder says to them. "Would you call me bad because your eye is evil? Would you call me bad because your eye is evil? Because your eye is tainted by wealth and comparison, by the things of this world? Would you call me bad because I do with what I have according to what mercy calls me to? Would you call the kingdom scarce?" See, the kingdom is always the kingdom of enough. They have received what is enough, and so have those who were called last. But now, let's look at the householder, the one who owns the vineyard. It's harvest time. And he says, "It's harvest time. We need to harvest these grapes." And he starts by preparing a spreadsheet. No, that's what I would do. I would start by preparing a spreadsheet and saying, "All right, I have this many vines. It takes this amount of time. I have this much money. This is going to be my yield. I need to hire this many workers." And I need to pay him as little as I can so that I get the most profit that I can. That's the way I'd start. I'd manage this as a project. But no, the householder does not manage a project or a budget. He looks first to the people. He doesn't look first to his vineyard. He doesn't send his manager out, his foreman, to go and hire 12 or 20 or 25 workers. He goes to the marketplace early in the morning, and he hires all who are there. And they labor. And 3 hours later, he doesn't go to the vineyard and say, "Wow, we're never going to get this done." Instead, he goes to the marketplace first. And there are more laborers there waiting to be hired. And he says, "You go to the vineyard and I will pay you what is right." And he goes back again and again. Not going first to the vineyard to say, "Is there work to be done?" He goes to the marketplace and say, "Are there workers who need work? Are there people who need to feed their families?" And at the 11th hour, he comes yet again. He says, "Why are you standing here?" They say, "No one has hired us." He says, "You too go to the vineyard." He goes and at the end of the day, he pays them all a day's wage. I think this is a nod to the Levitical commandment to not harvest to the edge of your field, but to leave the gleanings for the poor. You see, even in first century Jerusalem, or in first century Judea, they've moved from a subsistence farming that says, "I have a field and I feed my family," to a production farming that says, "I have a vineyard, I gather, I sell, and people bring wages." So what we have here are workers who have no fields, that go and receive according to their need because there's excess in the field. There is enough for the community. Think about the reputation of this householder. Think about what it means to go into the marketplace and be able to say, "Go into my field and I will pay you what is just." Those that come later don't say, "Well, what is just? Before I go all the way over there, before I work for this, what am I going to get paid?" He simply says, "Go and I will pay you what is just." And they trust him. The kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who has a vineyard to be harvested. The kingdom of heaven is not about the deal. The kingdom of heaven is not about trying to get the best out of this deal for me at your expense. The kingdom of heaven is about the community having enough. Indeed, the last shall be first, and the first shall be last in the kingdom. See, the kingdom turns the line. We think of the first and the last. In order, the kingdom turns that line so that all are equal. All are first and all are last. All are present before God. For the first and the last to change places, it's not a reordering of the line like we would think. It is a turning of the line so that we are all side by side and not one behind another. So where should we find ourselves in this story? Where should we find ourselves in the kingdom of heaven? Are we the generous landowner? Or are we the laborers in the marketplace? Are we the landowner or the laborers? Yes, we are both. You see, we are invited each week to this table as laborers, as those who are in the marketplace seeking for what they do not have, looking for what will provide them and for their families. We're invited to come and receive what is right, what is just, what is needful. We're invited to come and receive what is enough. We're invited to come and receive life. And as we come and we receive the body and blood of Christ, in the mystery of the kingdom, we also become the body of Christ, given for the life of the world. And we're sent out into the world to manifest the kingdom of heaven in our daily lives, to live as the gracious householder, looking not first to ourselves, but seeing the needs of others and meeting those needs in the abundance of the kingdom. We are sent into the marketplace, early in the day and late into the evening, to give freely all that is necessary in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.